Is KAYT Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh this morning as we prepare to hear your word. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can do in the text, tailor it, teach it to us so that he reaches each one of us right where we are, and then you lift us to the place you'd have us to be. Gracious God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise and glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 51. I've been walking up and down this psalm, and the Holy Ghost stopped me at verse 7. So verse 7 is where we want to pick up today. Psalm number 51, verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a moment, I want to think from the thought, a thorough cleansing. A thorough cleansing. This is the request of David, of God, that he would be thoroughly cleansed from his past mistakes, his immoral ways, his disappointing decisions to God, and everything that left him in a state of sin. He wanted to be clean because he wanted to get in that intimate place with God that one can only be in if they are clean. There is a saying that says cleanliness is next to godliness. And while that is not a scriptural text, it is a scriptural principle. Because all of this psalm reflects how cleanliness is important to the relationship and the fellowship with God. And certainly, my brothers and sisters, as I have stated on last week, we ought to want to get right with God. It ought to be our desire that we not play church. We not just come to church, but we ought to have church in our hearts. We ought to be in a place where we want to be right with God. Thus being right with God, we'll be right with our fellow man. Thus being right with our fellow man, we'll be right in our dealings and our doings. Just being right comes from a place of cleanliness. It is just something about cleanliness. You don't have to have the finest of everything, but if you got something that's clean, it has a certain appeal to it. You might not have a whole lot of something. It might be old, but if it's clean, it speaks volumes. And there are things, my brothers and sisters, in every arena of life that will take on a whole new appeal if it was simply clean. So David talks about, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. From the onset, there are two very important views. First, the one is an internal view. He starts off with the purging. That has to do with the inward parts. And the second view is the external view. That's washing the outside. Because can I tell you, you're not thoroughly clean until you're clean all over. Inside and out. Let's start with this look, this view. Let's understand how serious and how sincere David is about this cleansing. So you might just say, Lord, wash me, and you have no concept of the washing that David is talking about. You might say, purge me, but you really don't know, like David knew, what he was asking God to do. So let's look a little closer at the word purge. Purge. It literally means to purify. To purify. And David says, purge me with hyssop. And hyssop was a plant that was known for its cleansing and curing properties. And so when David says, purge me with hyssop, it was important to understand that David was saying, I want you to do two things. I want you to purge me so that you cleanse out any diseases I might have as a result of my sin. And once you get the diseases out of me, because you do know that diseases causes you to be diseased. He says, when you get through straightening out all of the diseases, then I want you to cleanse me so that I have none of the effects of the aftermath of the diseases. And so when he says, purge me with hyssop, he was talking about, because this was used both of a medicinal purpose and of a religious purpose. And so in both senses, he was speaking of being purged with that kind of intense cleansing. Well, let me best put it this way, because some of you may not fully understand what I'm saying. I never shall forget, I was but a lad of a boy when I first saw my grandmother and my uncles getting ready to boil crawfish. And they took a number three tub. I won't talk to some of the old schoolers, because some of you young folk don't know what I'm talking about. A number three tub was a utilitarian tub. They did some of everything in the number three tub. They washed clothes in the number three tub. They bathed the children in the number three tub. It was a purging tub for the crawfish. And I watched them fill the tub with a certain amount of water. And then she took salt and poured it into the water. And for a moment it turned cloudy white, and then the salt settled and it turned back to a clear water. And then she told my uncles, bring the sack of crawfish and pour it into the tub, but not too much. She made them pour a certain amount just until it filled the tip of the water. And the moment those crawfish hit the water, they started flapping and squirming. And they were almost in a frantic disarray, because what was happening was the salt in the water was purging the impurities out of the crawfish. And then I noticed how some crawfish would crawl up on the backs of other crawfish and try and get out of the water. And she had a long spoon that she'd stick in that number three tub and swirl it around and knock them back down in the water so that they would continue their purging. And minutes later, I noticed that clear water had become a notice that clear water had become a notice that clear water had become a notice that clear water filled with boiling water that had lemon and onions and seasoning. And they would stall the boiling process. And I noticed when she would take the crawfish out, that a few every now and then of the crawfish would be stretched out straight. And some would have their tails tucked tightly underneath them. And so I asked her one time, why were some of them stretched out straight? And she said to me, because they got purged to death. Y'all not hearing me here. See, there is an order in purging. If you don't know what you're doing, you can purge to death. And so whenever a crawfish, and this is just a helpful holy hint, when you eating the crawfish and you see him stretched out like that, pass him on by. Don't get the ones with the tail tucked up tight underneath it. Yeah, because that meant by the time he hit the water, he was already dead. I wish I had a helper in the house. But God knows just how long to purge you. And unlike man, he doesn't purge us to death. He purges us to perfection. And David knew that God had the ability to purge him to perfection, to cure his disease and cleanse his dirtiness. So he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Shall be clean. He starts with the inward parts. He starts with the conscious reality of his own sin, shortcomings, and mistakes. He starts with that part that other folk can't see. See, when you really want to be real, you want to start where the real problem is. When you want to be real with God, you want to confess your sins. You want to get it right with God. You want to acknowledge that, and you want to start where it is deep, dark, and dirty is the most. So he starts underneath the skin and he says, if you just purge me, I shall be clean. Now this word clean covered three areas. It meant ceremonially clean. It meant physically clean. And it meant morally clean. You see, this is one of the issues David had problems with. He had problems in his flesh, not like you. He had problems with his morals, not like you. And he wanted to make sure that his ceremonial cleansing was not just a facade. Wasn't just fake and phony. Like a whole lot of us come to church. And it is not a true worship. Because as long as you hiding stuff under the skin and don't think that God knows about it, and you don't even confess nor repent, don't think that God's going to receive your worship, your praise. Don't think that your ceremonial cleansing is going to do. Yeah, it might impress the people, but it won't do nothing for God. And God knows all and God knows best. And it is from God we receive all of our blessings. So if we ever want to get it right, we need to ask God to give us a thorough cleansing. He says, if you purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Listen at this. When those crawfish would throw up all of that stuff out of their intestinal tracts, is when you peel the crawfish and you pull back that last layer of skin, and on that back row it's either a bright orange because it's clean, or it's a brown line, which means that they were not purged. And in eating that brown line, you eat all of the trash and the dirt and all of the mess that they have eaten. Matter of fact, you know, crawfish are little scavengers. They eat dead stuff and stuff messed up and stuff that has stench. And when you eat unpurged crawfish and don't pull a line out, you eating all that stuff. Help me, somebody. I bet you look at eating crawfish a little differently, won't you? But he declares, I shall be clean. Clean. That means, listen, I will be purified. Purified. There ain't nothing like being clean. You just feel, I don't care how heavy you are, you feel lighter. Just something about being clean. I don't care how dark you are, you just feel brighter. Just something about being clean that makes you feel good all over. You just sleep better at night when you're clean. It seems to wash away not only the dirt in reality, but the dirt figuratively when you're it just puts your mind at ease, relaxes your muscles, make you feel good when you're clean. Oh man, when you come before the Lord and you're clean, it's easy to lift holy hands because they're not weighted down by the sin and the dirt of the world. It's easy to lift up, to give him a wave offering, to bless his name. It's just easier to worship him when you're clean. And sometimes you have to ask him to purge you with hyssop to get clean. There are just some things you can't wash. Yeah. That just some areas you can't catch. Don't matter how long you soak, there are just some things won't come clean on their own. You need some help. Tell your neighbor to get real clean, you need some help. Yeah, to get godly clean, you need to be thoroughly clean. Yes, sir. And then notice what he says. He moves now to the external view. He says, wash me. Now, he does the right thing. He starts and works from the inside out. Most of us work from the outside and forget the inside. And so now he comes to the point where he says, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Wash me. Well, most of us, when we think about washing, we think about washing like we take a bath or a shower. And we consider that a washing. But after looking at the word and getting its deeper meaning, it literally alluded to the fact of a fuller's bath. And a fuller was a professional who took wool and he cleaned it or cleansed it by washing it and beating or stumping on the garment in a solution of water and cleanser and forcing the deeply grounded dirt out of the wool. It wasn't a surface washing, a light cleansing, a gentle touching. It was a beating. It was a stumping. It was like the washers of our modern time that has what's called an agitator. And the agitator takes the clothes inside of the wash barrel and it pulls them down with force and it takes them and rubs up against the agitator, beating out all of the deeply grounded dirt and stain in the garment. But here is the thing. When the fuller would get through stumping it, get through beating it, what also would miraculously happen is when the dirt and the grease were released from the wood would become volumized. In other words, it would have bounce and it would become fuller and thicker. You know how it is when your hair's dirty, how it gets matted to your head. You try to do stuff with it, but it won't hold curls, it won't hold bounce, it ain't got no body. But when you wash it, it's light, and y'all gonna talk to me this morning? It's fuller. Yeah, it looks healthier. Yeah, you might want, well, no. And so when he talked about wash me, he wasn't talking about just a light ceremonial cleansing. He was talking about clean me, if you got to beat the dirt out of me, if you got to stomp the dirt out of me, I want all of it removed from me. So externally, you will be able to see me at my biggest and my best after I have been cleansed. Now, you won't talk about a washing. Not many of us want God to wash us like that, where he beat the dirt out of us or stumped the dirt out of us. Now, we really don't want that kind of cleansing, but if it's going to be a thorough cleansing, then it's going to require some pain, because dirt has taken hold in the cracks, crevices, and underneath the skin surface that won't be loosened until it's agitated out, until it is moved from its place of comfort. And listen at this. Some dirt has been in those places so long, the only way you're going to get it out is to beat it out or to stump it out. And listen, sometimes the only one who can do that is God. And he says, God, when you get through washing me, he says, I will be whiter than snow. Now, it's talking about snow, and you've heard the saying, pure as the driven snow. It's talking about snow that has not yet reached a surface or has landed on a substance that can either contaminate it or change its color. It's talking about purity of snow. It's talking about the essence of that snow being as clean and pure as it is falling, free falling, until it reaches or settles upon the ground or upon some surface that will either contaminate it or change its color. So he says, listen, when you get through purging me and cleansing me, I will be as the driven snow, which means, one, I'll be pleasant to the sight. If you look at the marvels of snow falling, it is such a pleasant sight. He said, but not only is it a pleasant sight, but it'll be pure in soul. Pure in soul. But then the third thing about this, as he poetically says this, it will also be pleasing to the Savior. And see, my brothers and sisters, only a thorough cleansing makes us pleasing to God. God sees everything. He knows everything. There's nothing hidden from him. Even if you tuck it away in your subconscious, God knows everything. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, haven't you done things, said things, experienced things that you didn't want to remember, but it's still a part of your experience, tucked away, having never been washed away from your life? It's still there. And then he comes. Another name for trouble. One of the things, heat is a revealer. You can tell if somebody is really clean, just let them get by the heat. I'm trying to help somebody here. The heat will reveal if you're really washed. Have I got a witness in the house here? Trouble will reveal whether or not your heart is cleansed. You're right. Everybody look at you here on Sunday morning, they think you're an angel, but let heat come. Lord, I didn't know he could cuss like that. She got a mouth like a sailor. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. I didn't know you could be so dirty. I wish I had a helper in the house.